Good morning. Great to be here. Great to have sunlight. Great to really believe that we are right on the front edge of springtime and all that goes with it. So good to be here to worship God, be here to praise Him as we are today, and just to know the joy that we can know it no other way. Kind of have it come to a peak here while we assemble for it. I really believe and hope that in every case in this room, worship takes place every day. We don't wait to worship. We just go do it wherever, whenever we can find a moment in time in our lives. And that brings us with preparation for having being able to come here and do it together. And realize common purpose, realize the joy that comes from putting our voices together and just letting God be praised. And that is so dear. That is such a possession. You'd never like to be without that. Life would be so dark and dry and hopeless. And we share it today. Everything that happened yesterday that I could see was great. God's girls were here and they were acting like God's girls. Isn't that neat? All things are going all over the building, paying attention, involving in more cheerful words than you could even make sense of if you were traveling around, walking around in the building where all this was going on. Just girls happily being together in the name of our Lord and coming here for an annual day that has come to be, so in my mind, priceless as a component part of who we are here. Appreciate so much those who made it happen. A lot of work went into it. Little tiny details. I remember, I wouldn't call any names. Sometimes you call names and people don't like it. But there's a bulletin board outside, and it's got like a, what is that, Scrabble board thing. And there was a word that just didn't seem, couldn't find one to fit in there that would make it into a proper Scrabble, but I noticed it was found out there. It was edifying, and that's the word that's on the board out there. Little tiny things like that all went into making yesterday happen so great, and appreciate so much all that God allows us to be right here for Him. In His presence as He is today. Who God is. Counted back. Back to mid-February. This is my sixth sermon with that as an overriding umbrella title for them all. And this will be another one today. May not be that long. Don't know. Sometimes you think they won't and they are. But it's an idea that came to me. And I don't even know where these ideas come from sometime. I was walking out. Actually, I have a little, I call it my lumber shed, which is a joke. Brian Allbig laughed at it when he saw a photograph of it. But I love the place, and I go out there and worship God. I go out there and just spend alone time sometimes. And I actually sing out there. Hope nobody ever records it, because it would be a joke, of course. But I love the place, and I was sitting out there. And this song that we used to sing in Vacation Bible School, just I don't know where it came from, came to my mind. Look all the world over. There's no one like You. And that kind of resulted in this sermon happening today. There is not another person on the planet like You. None. I love that thought. And I'm going to amplify and get on that a little bit as we go along. The scripture that is our theme scripture for today is there. And it said, this is from the Christian Standard Bible. This word's a little differently than the slide we had on the board earlier. How good it is to sing to our God. For praise is present, pleasant and lovely. And he's describing the experience for you there. Not just generically, it's nice. No, for you. Praise is pleasant and lovely. And that's what singing is. And that's what we're here to do, both with our voices and with our spirits here today. It was God's idea to connect the idea that I'm that really is my title to God, who God is. He is our caring creator. And I'm going to be dwelling on that creation idea here a little bit today. It was God's idea to connect the idea of Him being a creator to the idea that He loves us, that He made us individually, that we were put here by Him, God connected those two ideas in John chapter 1. And I don't have a slide for this, but I'll just have you turn there if you have your Bible and read it. Just the first couple of verses of 3 of John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. And look for that he connects the idea of who Jesus was and his creating. And it is connectable. Connectable by you and by me on an individual basis. And I hope we'll get that point across before we're done. In the beginning was the Word. We've gone over this many times in the past. The Word there is such an expressive term. It's logos in Greek. And I've defined it a few times. I think this definition probably came from Harvey Floyd, my Greek professor. But I love it. It says the logos, which is the Word used here in John chapter 1, means thought expressed. Thought up here that came out to be expressed. And here it refers to Jesus. He was God's thought expressed to us. And I love that as a way of relating to God. He wanted to speak, and he spoke through a life that walked this planet for 33 years and said something about who we are, who you are. You were his creation. You were worth speaking to, caring about, reaching out to with an expression of his great love and desire to save. As you continue to read these verses, you get the two ideas pulled together, connected by God. In the beginning, the Word was the Word. The Word was with God. That's the expression, logos. And the logos, Word, was God. He was in the beginning with God. He is God. He's with God. He was in the beginning. Why? Well, in the beginning with God, all things were made by him. That makes the entirety of the creation his doing. The one who walked 33 years on the earth did it. Now, he didn't do it in his limited human form. He did it as God. But he did it. And without him, in other words, you're looking for something that he didn't do, it doesn't exist. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. The only life that's worth a dime, the only life you want. Everything else is just walking misery. In him was life. And it was the light, the brightness of humankind. God trying to speak. Jesus himself said, "My word will never pass away." He didn't just speak nearly 2,000 years ago. He's speaking now. He never stops. He left here in bodily form. He doesn't speak from a body anymore, but he still speaks. And he either gets heard or he doesn't. And the life is either blessed, brightened, made wonderful, or it's not, depending on whether you hear him speaking in your life. Did you ever pause to reflect on this truth that we mentioned already? That you are one of a kind? Just one of a kind. I hope when I'm done, I will have laid some layers under that will say, you know what, that's really right. I am just one of a kind. And not only that, it was God's idea. That'll lift you up a little bit, I think. It does me. God's word confirms this truth that we are just one of a kind, each one of us, not another Earl anywhere. Don't applause. Okay. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, to each one of us. Each one. That gets down to you. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. What is he saying? To each one, apportioned out by the Lord. I think I'll make this one with an especial skill or ability or personality. Like this. And this one here, I'll make him with some other gifts. Maybe some overlaps, but there won't be any of them just alike. Each one apportioned gifts by Christ. That confirms that there's none of us alike and that we're all been blessed by a giving Savior. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. So having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, according to whatever Christ decided to do, having great gifts that differ, let's just use them. And that's in a context in Romans 12 of the body, the church of God, where we are, a group of people. Let's use them here for each other. Again, it speaks of both who we are, how we're different, how we're one of a kind, made by God, His choice, and a suggestion by Him. Look, I gave them to you, these differences that you are, my idea, I gave them to you to use. You were a one of a kind idea of our Creator God. Think about that. A conscious decision occurred. I wrestled with this thing. I was wrestling with it in class a little bit today. We're talking about cherubim and seraphim and angels, and they seem to come and go. And how do you come and go? Are they not in a timeless realm? I guess they are. They're sent by God from a timeless realm. And we talk about, well, this was after that. How can you be after that when the time and space exist here where we are? You can go nuts wrestling with all of that. I'm trying to stop short of that. A conscious decision made by God occurred. I don't know when, because we can't take when and apply it to God. He's outside time. But it happened. It happened in the existence of God. And what that decision was, I want on this planet a Jay Bowers, a Shauna Casey. I want a Kristen. I want a Dan Alexander. Can you believe that? He wanted one. And he made a decision to put one here. And he's here. God decided that one unique person like you was a good idea. Now, some people would question that about others, and some people question that about themselves. Not sure I was such a good idea. Dear Mrs. Bradford, I've mentioned her before, my fourth grade teacher, said this to me one time. I'd just come out of the third grade where I thought I was a complete skunk. I had been helped to think that by my third grade teacher. She took me aside and said, Earl, God never has any bad ideas, and He had an idea to make a you, Earl. And I loved her for that. Dear person, I doubt she even knew what an incredible verbal gift to Earl her words were. God wanted an Earl. He put you. It was His idea. Who's going to criticize God's ideas? You think He had a bad idea? No, He doesn't have bad ideas. He put you here. That's where I am today. God is your Creator God, who thought you were a good idea. Still does. Hasn't given up on you because you're breathing. Think with me about God as your caring Creator for a little bit today. That's who He is. God is a Creator of each of us, and He creates with meticulous care. He didn't just throw a bunch of stuff in a bag and shake it all up and dump you down here. The whole idea of you being formed is involved in the creation process for each one of us individually. And we'll look at that in a moment. God is a Creator who wanted there to be a you. We've already confirmed that God made decision that there would be a you. We heard that in the words that we read from Paul. Each one of us considered a whole idea from God. Each one of us gifted. And so that confirms that God had that idea. It wasn't just a random thing. Isaiah said, pen these words. Let's see if I jump past some slides. Well, I read those. And this is one from Jeremiah. I think I skipped past my Isaiah slide. Sorry. Yeah, I did. Unless it's next. No, it's not. Okay. I'll give you Isaiah's words first. The Lord God formed me in the womb to be His servant. Now, you got to think about these things. God did something. He had the idea, and then He went and did it. Went and did it. He formed me, Isaiah said, in the womb. Now, the idea of formed takes into the did to concern and to application this idea of some meticulous forming, like shaping something together, working on it with your fingers till you got it exactly like it, maybe like a potter in his clay. It takes that in the womb. So when you were in your mom's womb, there's no difference. Jeremiah is going to say the same thing. He formed you. He put you together. He shaped. Jeremiah has these words, Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb. I left out a T there, didn't I? I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. Now we don't, it is, I used to do this. It's such a dumb thing. Well, good old Eric Jeremiah, he sure was fortunate because God took a lot of time and patience and worked on him. The whole idea that this is being shared in terms of what goes on in the womb says he did it for me too. And you, specially formed, his idea put together exactly like he wanted you. I love that. That means I have some self-worth. That means I have a purpose. That means he cares about me. He made it just like he wanted and then loved what he made. An obviously related fact, he formed you for similar reasons, similar motive that he did Jeremiah and Isaiah, both of whom have spoken to us today. The complexity of yours and my creation demands an awesome God. It wasn't just some easy little simple chore he put together. It's just a nothing thing that gives. It needs to be thought about. I had some exposure in early years, Mrs. Bradford. I don't know if we had help. I know in health classes in my days, it was like, man, we went everywhere preaching the word. It was biology, little tiny bit of maybe chemistry, and of course some things that have to do with your health and how you're put together. I don't know when in my elementary school and junior high school days all this began to come together a little bit to get something in Earl's head. But what comes together is the complexity of your creation and mine demands an awesome God. That is a design you may have seen. Look at that. Yeah, it comes up pretty good. That is a chromosome. At least what they say it looks like. And I suppose those who've studied it's in all the books and you can find it everywhere. That is a chromosome. Complicated little thing. It is so small that you can't see one with the strongest microscope ever made. Not even with an electron microscope. Except in one form, in one phase. If it is multiplying, and they do multiply. They divide and they multiply. And when it is in the multiplying phase, so say everything that I can read, these strands wrap tighter and tighter and they multiply and become a little larger because there becomes at least two. And in that phase, you can see them with an electron microscope. Now, I have slides that I took off the internet that show these things. And they were black and fuzzy and didn't mean much, so I didn't stick one up here. I was fussing with Gene when we were getting ready to go to church, saying, maybe I ought to go back and put one on here. But I was unimpressed with the way they look. It is contained. This is what is a chromosome. It is contained in every cell in your body. Everyone has a chromosome. Chromosomes. Chromosome containing incredible things. Millions of codes. DNA, we call it. Deoxyribonucleic acid. That's what DNA is. And DNA is found in these little base pairs within those, what they call twin helix, that connect between the structure of this chromosome. And these DNA things, the DNA little sticks across there, ladder pieces, are composed of four base chemicals. I had them, but I didn't bother to memorize them. Guanine, cytosine, and two other nenes, and I forget them. And they are contained in variant portions on these little sticks going between here. A million combinations. Some of this one, some of that one. They are contained in there, and those are codes that determine everything about you. Everything is determined right within that DNA. Complex process. Incredible. You know how it came to be? There was this loud boom, and they all just fell in there. What an idiot would come up with a conclusion like that. And yet, a big portion, I guess, of our intellectual world, well, it was the Big Bang. That's where it came from. Oh, that tires me. I don't even like to read such things as that. Because so many people who have moldable, shapeable minds are just sitting there soaking it up and saying, yep, got to study more about the Big Bang. Every variation in our bodily beings determined by these little guys right here. If I told you, walk down the hallway out here and look at this new situation we got. We did some renovation over there. It's changed. We have the wider hallway. We've got a different way to go in the door. We've got new carpet down. Everything, the whole thing is different. And I don't know how that happened, but we came in here and found out something had exploded. Lee Pellegrino had nothing to do with it. And it all is there. You take me out to Mayview. For sure. The fool, says the book of Psalms, 53 verse 1, the fool says, nope, no God, no designer, no creator, just a boom. Intellectual stuff there. It really is.
God says, by means of a system, only God could compose.
I carefully knit you together in your mother's womb, just one of you. Even if you were an identical twin, you're not the same. There are many, many variations. You may be some more similarities than maybe the idea of just a typical guy or girl, but you're not the same. Just one of you is all I made. But I made it. An incredible system. No one could claim some random accident put together.
But the world says, the world's fools. Nope, it's all just a big accident. That's all it was. The only relevant question for us today is,
what am I saying about all this? Do I appreciate the fact that I was so carefully by a loving God put together, that everything about me was His idea? I used to question some of His ideas. I kind of quit that. I still have it. I have hair right here that I have spent my whole life trying to conquer. Every morning when I get up, now it sticks out just like that, just like it did when I was in elementary school and everybody would laugh at it. I didn't have hair stuff then to fix it. Now, I don't know why He made me like that. This one stuck out a little too, and I looked like some kind of house eaves walking down the road. I don't know why He made me like that, but He did.
What am I saying?
To God. About how much I love Him. Appreciate Him. Give Him credit for even me being His good idea and you the same.
Indeed, how good it is to sing to our God. For praise to Him is pleasant, lovely, and so very appropriate. So very appropriate from us little created entities, created beings, formed and molded together by Him, an individual pattern, an idea all alone by Him for each one of us. God is your Creator, and He loves you. He wanted, once He loved you, a perfect being just like His idea was. And that's how He put you here. But something happened after that to every one of us. Because God wasn't the only one who tried to get involved with who we are and what we are and how we, what we would become. And He injected something to us called sin. Put sin, temptation in front of us. Story of Adam and Eve. That's it. Put something into them that will tempt them to walk out here, leave God behind. This is a better idea. And go there and have a whole cloud of darkness then just come right over your life as a result of turning away from God and turning to the darkness of sin. Sin brought your life away from God, away from the incredible innocence and good idea-ness that He gave you. Very plainly from His Word, who God is. This gets back to having, God doesn't have to be patient with His own ideas, they're all perfect. But when we mess them up, God is patient with you. Not wishing or wanting anyone to perish. He doesn't want anybody. He didn't want anyone who was His good idea to perish, to be lost, to be ruined. But wanting everyone to come to repentance. To everyone who has been pulled away from God's idea to something else, to another idea. To just turn around. That's what repentance is. I'm going this way. First of all, I started off going the way God wanted, but Satan got my attention and with some sin. And so I turned and I went. But He says, I want you to come back, girl. I want you to repent. That means turn back. Come back to the person I meant for you to be. By means of amazing, complex genetic code, He made you precious, innocent, beautiful, His idea. Somewhere, there are photos of you when you were exactly that. Just a little kid. Not ruined by sin. Precious. The way God made you. There's one. There's Earl with two of my sisters. I think I was then either six or getting there. And they were stepped down from me, my two older sisters, just younger than me. Just innocence. God's idea. That is so, to me, precious a thing to think about God. Just giving us that attractive innocence, that perfectness that was His idea. The evil one tempted, dragged us off into sinful darkness. Thanks be to God for not giving up on you or me. He liked His idea. His idea was, let me just see if I can bring it back to that innocence that I gave him. And somehow, who God is got through to most of us in this room. He got our attention. He reconciled us. That gives meaning to 2 Corinthians 5. I had a sermon on this about the God who reconciles. He reconciled us. He changed our minds. He brought us back and gave us. He wiped away the junk that we had built up that was wrong in our lives and clouded them over and ruined them and gave us back innocence. And that's why we're here today to praise Him and worship Him. He gave us back such an incredible gift. Got through to us. And we humbly came to Him to be cleansed back to innocence, restored. Like little Mallory Solis, I think, this week, Mike, was brought to that very state right here on Wednesday night. In a cleansing process that God put together, symbolic, but if it works and it cleanses, then let's do it. She was baptized here on Wednesday evening. Did you ever just consider God's multiple ways of saying this to you? I wanted you clean. I wanted you back like I made you. And so I worked out a system by which your sin that had darkened your life can be as far from you as the east is from the west. That's Psalms. Did I put that in here? Yes, I did, I think. Yeah. Yeah, Psalms 103. That's what He wanted for you to begin with, and He wanted then to give it back to you. That was what God has tried to do. And to whatever degree you've responded to him by faith, by being baptized in his own cleansing symbolic process, and then walking behind him step by step, you have been given that back that you had when you were so young. I will remember their sins and their misdeeds no more. I don't want to remember this junk they got into that messed them all up and didn't let them have that beauty I gave them to begin with. That's what he wanted for us, and we're here today because he gave it, and we came here to praise him for it. That's why it's good to sing praises to him. God has rescued us. Rescued us. He saw we were in trouble. We were out there dirtied up by the evil one. And so he came and rescued us from the dominion of darkness. That's what sin does. Washed it away, and then brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption. The forgiveness of our sins. Forgiven sins are gone. They don't exist. You know how far it is from the east to the west? You ever tried to measure that? You're talking about the infinite. They are gone. They're not still hanging on. They are gone. They were gone to begin with, and God gives you back their absence. All of this says God is your creator who wants you back like he made you to begin with. It was a good idea, precious and innocent. And you have that for a reason to love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And come here to pour that out in a session like this and worship today. Who God is your caring creator who wants you back like you were when he put you here. The life of Jesus was God, Logos, revealing, telling, saying to you and me how much he cared for us and wanted us to give us back what he gave us at the outset, so there'd be a time to come when we could just go home to him and not have to drag that bag of sin with us. It can't get into heaven. Let's get rid of the bag of sin, Earl, so I can bring you home when the time comes. Think about those things. Wonderful idea of God you are. And if you need to come back to that precious place of innocence with him and walk with him, come while we sing.